This is a podcast from WOR.
You never heard a radio show like this before. Following in the footsteps of his father and grandfather, Taxi Dave drove a taxi in New York City for many years. In fact, he was born in the front seat of a yellow cab. Join us for an hour of informative discussion with the only person in America to have hosted the Today Show one time. He's knowledgeable, he's witty, and he wrote this. The only one of his kind, and presented by Melrose Credit Union. This is the Taxi Dave Show.
What are they going to say?
They who?
Who? Everybody. The press, the man on the street.
He means the voters.
You know what they're going to say. The Times is going to support you. The News is going to knock you. The Post will take both sides at the same time. Quit stalling.
Will you stop bullying everybody? This is supposed to be a democracy.
We're trying to run a city, not a democracy.
Sunday night at 8:05, and this is the place to be, WOR 710, the Taxi Dave Show. I'm Taxi Dave. We're here with Frank Venezia tonight. Hey, Frank.
Hey, David. How are you?
Okay, we're broadcasting from the beautiful, state-of-the-art Melrose Studios out in Briarwood, Queens. And, Frank, what is that beautiful highway with palm trees and waterfalls I see?
Oh, that's Highway 1. No, that is... Where are we right now? Wait a minute. What is that beautiful roadway? I am totally drawing a blank. The palm trees are throwing me off.
Okay. That beautiful Van Wyck Expressway. That's right. If you've never been to the Van Wyck Expressway, the West Coast Highway has nothing on the Van Wyck Expressway, let me tell you. We'll be with Matt Dawes in a little while, the former chairman of the New York City Taxi Limousine Commission. He's also the president of an international taxi commissioners association. We're going to be talking about Uber and the price of the medallion. We said we'd have Senator Klein or Savino on this week. Senator Klein wants to tape a show. I'm not too keen on it. I mean, it's a very safe thing to tape a show, right, Frank?
The safest thing in the world.
Yeah, I don't like safe things. I mean, let's do it live and have some fun. You know, I was on the Brooklyn Queens Expressway headed to LaGuardia Airport the other day. And I got to tell you what upset me. But first of all, for those of you folks who aren't from New York City, I bet you can't guess which two boroughs the Brooklyn Queens Expressway goes through. Just think hard. Think hard. No, not Staten Island. Okay. Anyway... I'm in the right lane, taking my time, and there's an exit before Northern Boulevard. It's called Broadway, and there's a safety zone between the right lane and the exit. There's a school bus in front of me, filled with students, a yellow school bus, starts to slow down, heads towards the exit, turns back on the highway, turns to the exit, stops halfway into the safety zone with half of the yellow bus on the highway! In the right lane. This is a school bus with children on it. The bus, half of the bus is on the highway. Stopped. Facing the wrong way, perpendicular to the road.
But
you know, we find people for passing school buses. Does anybody think about checking out the drivers of those school buses? I'm sorry, Frank. What were you saying?
No. Listen, there's no excuse. I'm looking out for your health. I know you get all excited and all worked up, and I can't believe it. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to derail you.
No, it's fine. You know, so I said, gee, I wonder if there was anything interesting with other school bus drivers this week. Well, up in the Hudson Valley, there's a school bus driver, a female school bus driver, Mary Coletti, but we won't mention her name. And she takes high school students to school about 7 a.m. in the morning in the Lakeland School District. Well, police say that after she sideswiped a telephone pole, her blood alcohol level was 0.14, which is 0.06 above the legal limit. And under Leandra's law, which is a good thing, there's stiffer penalties for drunk driving with children in the vehicle. She was arrested, and given bail of only $1,000. 7 o'clock in the morning, you're driving children to school drunk.
It's happy hour somewhere.
I mean, don't they vet these people? Drunk, 7 o'clock in the morning, driving our children? It's bad enough we had that jerk engineer driving 105 miles an hour, killing people. What's a life worth? Infinity? How many infinities do we have to lose? That guy should be in jail. What's he doing tonight? Barbecuing? We take some sympathy with the families of those who lost their lives on that Amtrak train. And also the family of Charles LaSala. For those of you in the taxi industry in New York City, Charles is Joe Schifo's partner, and Charles's dad passed away last week. So we sympathize with the family. But on a different note, totally different note, want to congratulate Alan Plafker and his new bride, Roz. They were actually married today. So congratulations to Alan Plafker and Roz. That's a great thing. And no one knows more about insurance than Alan does, that's for sure. So I just got this notification. Let's just see. Okay, Amtrak service will be fully restored between Philadelphia, PA, and New York beginning tomorrow morning, Monday, starting at 5:53 out of Philadelphia, train 111 from New York City at 5:30 a.m. Okay, great. So the idiot killed people, maimed other people, caused inconveniences to thousands more families, and he's not in jail. I don't get it, Frank.
I don't get it. I don't like the lack of information that's being put out. I mean, from what I understood, just trying to read some information about it, this guy went days without giving a statement. I mean, there was nothing of any decent consequence that came out of the reporting on that. I mean, I was waiting for something from Brian Williams, but we didn't get any kind of detail from him either. It would have been nice to get a little bit of detail. You know, people want to know.
Didn't Brian Williams go down with that train?
No, I heard he was surfing on top of it. That's where he was doing the report from. You know, it would have been nice to give everybody who's still out there, you know, on trains and commuting and trying to visit family, just a little bit of an idea that, you know what, it was a one-off. If it was a one-off and it's not a system-wide problem, just give everybody a little.
What is this world coming to? You have to worry about the drivers of school buses who stop perpendicular on highways, who drive drunk at 7 o'clock in the morning. You pay for an Amtrak. I mean, damn, billions of dollars are subsidized into Amtrak, 105 miles an hour in a 55-mile-an-hour zone? What would happen to someone in New York City who is traveling 105 miles an hour in a 55-mile-an-hour zone? Maybe we'll ask our next guest, who, by the way, is the former chairman of the New York City Taxi and Limousine Commission, Matthew Dawes, and also the head who represents taxi commissioners from around the world. Matthew Dawes, welcome to the Taxi Dave Show.
Hey, how you doing, Taxi Dave? Good to hear from you.
Say hi to Frank.
Hey, Frank, how are you?
I'm doing well, Matthew. How are you?
Good to be on. I heard you guys were talking about the horrible Amtrak tragedy. It's very, very sad. You know, and as everybody, all of our hearts go out to the families, and hopefully we'll get to some answers soon on what's going on.
We're going to change gears and go into Inside Taxi here. You have been quoted recently as talking about the New York City model of Uber as compared to the rest of the world. Do you want to give our listeners, enlighten them, and give a little background to this before we get in a little deeper into it?
Sure. To quote Al Gore, it's Uber's inconvenient truth that they are licensed in New York City. And they don't like the fact that when you confront them with this around the country, but it's real simple. The TLC in New York, I think, did its job to the extent that they require them to be licensed when they came into the city. When you have 150 inspectors, you know, that means business. You know, everyone who's in the taxi industry knows, you know, that there's plenty of enforcement out there to a certain extent. It should be focused more on the unlicensed. But they did take a pretty hard line against Uber and Lyft when they came in. And as a result, you know, they basically had to get licensed with the proper insurance that everybody else has, you know, criminal background checks that are done by the government in cities around the country.
But I'm reading in cities around the country, they don't want to be licensed.
Well, they don't want to be licensed, and to the extent that they do claim that they want to be licensed, the laws are really just a sham of a mockery of a mockery of a sham, as Woody Allen would say. You know, you read the first paragraph of any of these laws, and it's the same law that the lobbyists are introducing everywhere. It describes to the T what a taxi and limo does as a definition of a taxi network company, but then the next sentence says, this shall not include taxis and limos. So by its very essence, it creates an unfair playing field where taxis and limos have to get a higher level of more costly insurance and have the minor delays of getting biometric fingerprints done by the government in most states. They're looking to cut those corners, self-regulate, use private companies to do their background checks, which are not accurate. Actually, we're issuing a report, which is already online, Dave and Frank. It's at the utrc2.org website and also on the John Jay College website. I put together a group of academics as well as former law enforcement officials, including Michael Balboni and John Jay professors and forensic experts, to look at what Uber's trying to do and Lyft around the country and comparing the New York City model to theirs. You know, they're looking to do their own fingerprints with these private companies, their own name checks, like Social Security checks, as part of the law, instead of, you know, how we know it, New York, where every driver who wants to get licensed, whether it's limo, livery, or taxi, has to go in, have a live scan fingerprint, and we will get decent information about your criminal history. They're not doing that, and they're trying not to do that. And I think the reason is clear. They feel that, you know, number one, it's going to be a barrier to them getting more drivers more quickly. But they're really playing with fire because they're putting the riding public in jeopardy. So this report takes the person who knows nothing about fingerprints and forensics, you know, somebody who doesn't watch CSI, and basically walks them through the process and concludes that the New York City model is, for the most part, the best model. You know, where the drivers go in, they get fingerprinted, and then there's a process for you if you were convicted of something many, many years ago, that you have the ability to contest that and get your due process. And the report also concludes that, you know, the laws that are going around the country that they're trying to pass are not constitutional. You know, they're a denial of equal protection of the laws. It's a double standard, and it really needs to stop for the sake of the riding public. So that's kind of what's going on. You know, in New York City, you know what? There's a lot to be desired. You know, we may need to look at limits on the size of the FHV industry. There's a lot of drivers that are leaving the taxi industry to go to Uber, but some of them are coming back. But
so
we need
to
fix
all these drivers leaving,
I'm not saying New York City system. Yeah,
with all these drivers leaving the taxi industry and going to Uber is what I assume you meant. So what's really going on when people are talking about the price of the medallion and the possible crash of the medallion industry? What's your professional opinion about the future of the New York City taxi medallion?
Well, I think talk about a crash is nonsense. I think that there's a lot of hyperbole and a lot of you know, misinformation out there. The facts are simple. The New York City medallion is strong in many different ways. There's been no market. So these stories that are in the papers are just not accurate. To say that the price drops means that there's an open market transfer where the price is dropping. The transfers that have been taking place over the last 8 months are family members. You know, most people are fearful because of these stories of making any transfers. And I actually think, you know, frankly, people should take a second look at this. The ridership is dropping, yes. It's not dropping that much. Tips are up. All the economic indicators of people coming to the city and supply and demand indicate that the medallion is going to survive in the long haul. This small dip is just a blip in history, just like we've seen maybe two or three times. And I believe, unlike Chicago and other markets where I have serious concerns, New York is going to survive and thrive, and this is just a blip on the screen. And for those drivers who are out there that think they're going to get a quick fix going to work for some of these companies to do surge pricing, work more hours, less hours, and earn more money, you know, in the long haul, you know, that may not work out. And drivers are already starting to come back. And we really need to take a serious look, Dave and Frank, at the environmental implications of what's going on. You know, if you remember, Dave, we had to go through, and you were part of this process, a gazillion hurdles to get just 1,000 cabs, sold onto the market with an environmental impact study. And, you know, now there's just the TLC and the city has allowed thousands and thousands of cars to go into the FHV industry, and we need to take a serious look at that, because there may be a failure to comply with environmental laws, but even if there isn't, there should be laws that limit to some extent the amount of the unprecedented growth in an industry which is doing almost the same thing as taxi cabs do at this point. Because when you're using a smartphone to hail one of these cars, it's like a taxi cab. So all the lines are becoming blurred, and there's still a lot of work New York City needs to do. But the one thing I do commend them for is that they did insist on getting a license. Not everybody has been able to be successful in that. My regulators have been circumvented all around the country. You know, they would go over their heads to the mayors, the governors, and the legislatures, give them political campaign contributions, send thousands of emails, and scare them. So my members, my taxi commissioners, want to do the right thing, and they try to. But, you know, in D.C., if you have three inspectors, how are you going to enforce the law on an entire city? In New York, they did the right thing by telling them, if you don't get a license, we're going to shut you down. And they don't like it when I point that out, when I go places like Texas and Florida and testify. You know, they shut me down. They, you know, I've been to places where I was testifying in New Jersey, Dave, and I waited hours to testify. Everyone testified except for me. I was put on last, and then they decided to break for lunch.
I waited
in Texas for 10 hours to speak for 3 minutes and got cut off when they had about an hour and a half to speak, Uber and Lyft.
I think the latest casualty for them is Kansas. I read that after they barraged their legislators with emails, Kansas voted to ban Uber. Or Uber decided to walk away from Kansas because Kansas wanted to do professional background checks. You're listening to the Taxi Dave Show. We're brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get anywhere from here. And we're on with Matthew Dawes, the former chairman of the New York City Taxi Limousine Commission, a partner in Wendell's Marks, a very well-known and prestigious transportation law firm, and he's also he represents taxi commissioners from around the world. Our phone number is 1-800-321-0710, 800-321-0710. Matt Dawes, let's just take a couple of quick calls and you can chime in. Tommy, you have something with traffic? You're live on the Taxi Dave Show.
Hi, Taxi Dave. Good evening. How are you?
Just dandy. What's up?
How's everything? I've been better. I have a question. I just want to let you know, a couple of weeks ago you were talking about traffic and how the rise of cars has increased traffic. I also wanted to add that not really just the rise of cars, you know, from Uber in general, but and the bike lane and the bus lane, but it's all this construction as well that they, you know, the city never ends with construction. I feel like I'm driving more on steel plates than I am on asphalt.
That's a great line. You feel you're driving more on steel plates
really
than on asphalt. Okay.
And yesterday, when it rains, as you are well aware, when it rains, you know the roads get slippery, and that's when the grease and the oil pops up. Now I saw a lot of cars yesterday while it was raining, slipping and not being able to stop on time. God forbid a pedestrian is crossing in front of a steel plate, and a cab or a car is unable to brake in time. It's good, and we're talking about going 20, 25 miles per hour. It's going to be a fatality because all this steel plates on the road.
Tommy, I also want to tell you, if it is raining, a very close friend of mine wants me to remind everybody, do not engage the cruise control in the rain.
Yeah.
Okay. So, let's see. So, you don't like the construction, you don't like the traffic caused by bike lanes, you said?
It's not really the bike lanes and bus lanes that bother me. I understand that, but all this construction, they never, you know, instead of focusing on one job and putting all the personnel into one job, they're taking away lanes because they're shutting all this extra construction is killing the city, is killing traffic.
Thank you so much for listening to the Taxi Dave Show, Tommy. Commissioner Dawes, any comments for Tommy?
I can tell you, Tommy, that one thing is certain in life, that's death, taxes, and that there will always be construction on the Gowanus Expressway in Brooklyn since I'm 5 years old until the day that I die, continuously, as well as other parts of the city. So we'll be dealing with it for a long time to come. You just got to know where it is and be careful, of course.
Oh, he's talking about Midtown Manhattan. You're doing 20, 25 miles an hour. There is so much construction. It's the skyline changes like every 2 years. It's incredible.
Yeah, I'm a Brooklyn guy, so that's my commute.
Let's take a call from Ralph. You're live on the Taxi Dave Show.
Well, Dave, Matt, Commissioner, you know, I'll tell you something. I called you about a year ago, Dave, and I spoke about the bike lanes, and I'd like to report to you that things have gotten better, but they've just gotten worse. In fact, I stepped out yesterday and didn't quite look to my right, and man, did I almost get clipped by some maniac driving, riding a bike, whom probably hasn't ridden a bike for 20 years, suddenly has his hands on one of the city bikes. And if you think two wheels are different than four wheels when driving at that speed, if you get clipped by one of those characters, you're gonna be in the hospital for a couple of days. And I'm just wondering, we want a fit New York, we want a New York who's more athletic and more more healthfully tuned, but when we just deluge the whole road with bike lanes unnecessarily, we're just asking for trouble, guys.
You know, bike lanes are supposed to be safer for the pedestrians.
Right.
You know, not less safe. I mean, there were so many people injured by bikes in the past. Doing exactly what you did, looking, you know, at the traffic coming at them on Madison Avenue, for example, stepping into the street and getting hit by a downtown going bike. So they're supposed to follow the rules. You know, I'm sure most of them do. But then again, my pet peeve with City Bike is, was that gentleman wearing a helmet, a bike helmet?
No helmets, Dave. And also, listen to this. You have cumbersome dress clothes on. You have people riding with, you know, dresses and dress pants where they're not really able to maneuver, just causing more accidents. And you know something? I'll tell you one thing about the ordinary biker. They're empowered by the amount of bike lanes, and they drive a bit more recklessly than they would normally, I'm saying drive, they ride a bit more recklessly than they would normally ride. Mm. And, you know, it's disconcerting when I have my little one with me holding his hand, and I have to worry about not only cars, but these crazy bikes. It's a little rough.
Hey, Ralph, thanks for listening.
Yeah.
And
I appreciate
it. Taxi Dave Show. Hey, Frank, you have any words for Ralph?
look both ways before you cross.
Unbelievable.
You know, guys, they really
bike lane and once for the street.
Retooling these lanes. I always thought it was a little crazy having bike lanes going into the middle of Times Square. I'd love to share a report with you, too, gentlemen. I teach a sustainable transportation course at City College every year, and we've been going around on our bicycles, my students and I, for the last 3 years, documenting all potholes, dangerous conditions, lack of signage, as well as concerns about where some of the lanes are. We've given the report to DOT, and I think it might be worth for people to take a look at it. There needs to be a lot of changes to the system. Bikes are not bad, but, you know, it's considered an extension of the sidewalk in a lot of parts of the city, and this, most of the time you'll have a messenger on a bike going the wrong way, and people don't look until they get to the curb. So they almost consider the lanes as an extension of the sidewalk, and that's dangerous. I almost got hit several times, and people have been hit, and they've been killed by bicycles. It happens, and it is a public safety issue, and I think they're here to stay, and I think that they need to be around, but I think we really need to take a look at maybe retooling where the lanes are and making some better changes to the program, which I think any commissioner would do.
Besides,
so hopefully that'll come.
Yeah, besides the recreational and exercise that you get on bikes and city bike and, you know, short commutes, business and deliveries are using bikes. However, something new has been happening lately that people have been talking about. Actually, deliveries by certain vehicles. And what's interesting is, once upon a time, yellow cabs actually made deliveries, whether it was blood for a blood bank or packages. And that right was taken away from them because the public was crying, hey, you know, we don't have enough cabs out here for street hails. You know, no package pickups. Do you know anything about that with, let's say, one of the investors in Uber?
Well, it looks like they're turning it into a logistics company. And I was talking about this years ago, and now it's actually happening. In fact, they are delivering food as well. It's called Uber Eats, and they launched it. And, You know, last thing I want when I get into the back of a livery is to sit on a pastrami sandwich that's been left there. You know, so I'm not sure how well it's going to work, but, you know, that's part of the plan. I mean, I don't think there's any reason or doubt in my mind at this point as to why Alibaba is an investor in Lyft and Amazon's an investor in Uber. They're looking at it as a logistics company, and I think they know that they're going to lose the lawsuits, and at some point, what are they going to do with all these drivers that are not going to cut the mustard at the end of the day? No pun intended. And what they're going to do is they're going to make them messengers. So I think it's not a joke when you see these little cute marketing things Uber puts out where they'll send someone to give you a flu shot or, you know, to adopt a pet or one of these things. These are real test runs where they're looking to turn it into a logistics network. You know, and I love pastrami as I know you do, Dave. And you know, I just don't want to sit on one in my car. I want it to be clean and neat. And that's the last thing we need is to have a smelly environment where there's all sorts of food, you know, that's sitting in the back and before people get into the cars.
Our email address is taxihail@aol.com. Taxihail@aol.com. Our phone number is 800-321-0710. When we come back, we'll have some more of the Taxi Dave Show brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. We're with Frank Venezia, and we're with Matthew Dawes, the former chairman of the New York City Taxi and Limousine Commission, probably the most experienced and knowledgeable transportation person in New York City at this time. Stay tuned for more of the Taxi Dave Show. We'll be right back.
Yet you know that I'm on you. You know I ain't never had my woman, but yet I got this driving blue. Well, when I'm on the road, I'm out with other women. You know that I've been told, but I commit the sin while my woman loves me. But yet you know that I'm on you. You know I ain't never had my woman, but yet I got this driving blue. Yeah.
Seriously. Why would you get a mortgage from a bank? Smart New Yorkers know that a credit union mortgage is better. We're Melrose Credit Union, and we want you to compare our mortgage to a bank mortgage. It's a financial eye-opener banks do not want you to see. Join Melrose Credit Union today. Find out why a credit union mortgage is better. Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. Deposit accounts federally insured to at least $250,000 by the NCUA. Affirmative Action Employer, Equal Housing Lender.
This message is for all of you sitting in the passenger seat. And apologies if it gets a little uncomfortable. But how does it feel to be at the mercy of someone who thinks a random text is more important than your life? Someone who takes their eyes off the road while speeding along in a 3-ton hunk of steel. Freaky, right? Well, why not just ask them to stop? Or better yet, volunteer to text for them. It might be a little awkward, but believe me, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
No, no, she can't take you mindlessly.
Watch what you're doing when you're crossing those streets with those bike lanes, folks. This is WOR 710. It's Sunday night. This is the place to be. It's 8:33. I'm Taxi Dave. This is the Taxi Dave Show. We're on with Matthew Dawes, the most experienced and educated person in New York City transportation, maybe on the planet of the Earth. You're the president of what association for regulators, Commissioner?
It's the International Association of Transportation Regulators. It's called the IATR.
Okay. And that brings you around the world, right?
Yes, yes. We have taxi commissioners from Australia to Abu Dhabi to Singapore, Malaysia, London, every city, major and tertiary in the U.S. and in Canada. And we're expanding at a rapid pace.
Talking about international transportation, let's take a call from Mike from JFK, the International Airport in New York City. I understand he wants to rant a little about something. Hey, Mike, you're live on the Taxi Dave Show.
Well, I want to rant about everything. We'll keep it simple. But in particular, first of all, I'd like to say hello to Matt. You were a great chairman, and I'm glad you stayed in the game helping the cab drivers. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. Good to hear from you, Mike. Thank you.
Likewise. No problem. Listen, the one thing, first of all, JFK update, 80% moving, a lot of cabs, it looks like it's busy, so that. I'd just like to talk to Matt about the structure of Uber dispatch, where a guy has one hand on the wheel, he's got a cell phone in his hand, and he's looking down for a call that he has 8 minutes to get to. I'm seeing, I hope that's not the case, but I'm seeing a few incidents on the streets that may have been fueled by handheld dispatching. I think it's a very dangerous practice, and I'd like to get Matt Doss's view on that.
Well, I think a lot of you probably remember my position on distracted driving. We had a big brouhaha on the dust-up, when some of the cab drivers were using Bluetooths and they were, talking on their phones, and we kind of put an end to that, and the drivers realized how unsafe it was, but now we're back to square one in many ways because, when you're holding a phone and looking at it, it is clearly dangerous. There's no question about it. What we took a tremendous amount of time and effort to research various ways in which you could not have distracted driving and minimize it. And if you look at the old rules, and I think they've been changed, even for black cars dispatching, there were a variety of different things that we approved when I was there to allow goosenecks and certain types of applications that would minimize the ability for you to be taking calls and dispatchers on any type of system, including a cell phone. So, you're supposed to pull over to the side of the road. Clearly, that's not happening. It's impossible in Manhattan. You know, you also have crazy stuff. Like the other day, I saw an Uber driver just, parked in the middle of a crosswalk on 7th Avenue and 56th, walking around the car, obviously with his phone, circling it and trying to find his passenger who was looking for him. In the middle of everything, that we don't need that type of additional distraction and traffic chaos. So, we need to enforce the distracted driving rules. I believe it's important, especially with the Vision Zero effort. The Street Hail pilot program allowed all of the cab drivers and FHVs to start using these cell phones, and we need to make sure that they're safe. So I'm with you 100%. And the other thing, too, is that we can't have people, getting out of their cars and circling and doing stuff like that in the middle of traffic. And that's happening a lot because it's hard for them to find their driver. So, that there's more chaos on the roads and there's more traffic as a result of this unprecedented growth and unchecked growth of vehicles. And we need to do something about it, in my opinion.
Thanks for calling, Mike.
Okay, listen, thank you very much, guys. Great show. Bye-bye.
Okay, Tom O'Connor, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Taxi. Yes, Dave, how do you do this evening? Talking in reference to during the week, I see a major law for a financial institution at Wall Street subsidized
Lyft
company for $500 million.
$100 million.
I don't know if you've seen that article.
Yeah, I did. But, you know something? I just want people to understand this. I just got a text from somebody from Florida who said, why can't you New Yorkers face it? Uber is here to stay. You know what? We understand that technology is here to stay. We don't want to end technology. We just want to be offered the same rules and regulations for fairness, okay, regarding everything. I mean, it needs to be fair. You can't one day someone is an app, the next day they're a black car base, the next day they're a car service, the next day they're doing street hails. I mean, come on. You know, there's got to be some fairness here. There really does. Let's take a call from Bert, the insurance guy. You're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Hi, David. How are you?
Okay. Thanks for calling.
Okay. First, thank you, David. First of all, Matt, I read your article in Info recently, and I have.
Where did you read this article?
I think you forwarded it to me, David.
Okay. Right? Do you know what newspaper that article was in?
Honestly, I guess it was in your paper, David.
It's called The Taxi Insider,
which, by the way,
you can read at a retired yellow cab driver's website, which is nyctaxinews.com. So go ahead, Bert.
Okay, first of all, I have to say that I'm in this industry, David, since 1969. I bought a medallion with the money that I saved while I was in Vietnam. Okay, I came home out of Vietnam, and I was able to buy a medallion. I still own a medallion, which I lease with a driver-owned company. And I thought I knew a little bit about the taxi industry over all these years. I actually drove in 5 centuries. I drove a taxi in 1969, and I stopped driving.
Wait. You mean decades.
5 decades, right, David. Oh, you're absolutely right. Anyway, I drove in 1969, and I ended in 2000, so that's actually 5 decades, all right? Anyway, in all the years, I thought I knew a little something, but I have to say that after reading Matt's article, I was humbled by the accuracy and the research he did and the way he presented it. And it's the first article in about 2 years when all the controversy started with Uber and all the app companies that gave me confidence again that I own a medallion, because I really was feeling very negative, and it didn't look like to me, like, to be honest, it didn't look like my retirement was going to be any good because of, you know, technology. And I can't argue with that, because technology is here to stay, like you say, and it's important to have it. So I have to, again, comment and, you know, compliment Matt, because he made me feel good. He broke down everything in the history of the medallions and the prices and the drivers and a lot of good things, Matt. So thank you for that.
Thank you. Just telling it like it is.
Yes. Now, as far as, you know, I work in the insurance industry and I review accidents all day long. I look at police reports all day long. I'm the investigations manager at an insurance company, at Hereford Insurance Company. I teach defensive driving course. And, you know, Matt, I think Matt, I know Matt has been, you know, to our award ceremonies. He participated. He was a very active taxi commissioner. He did very well. He cared about drivers and saw that they got awards for doing well in safety. So Matt was right on the money. Matt did very well. I was just thinking the other day as I walked home, you know, I walk home and I walk through Midtown Manhattan. I can't tell you how many times I look and I see all kinds of black car drivers, commercial drivers, private car drivers. If they're not texting, they're doing something with the phones. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? Why not pass a law where if somebody doesn't have both hands on the wheel for 20 seconds consistent, they can get a summons, you know? I don't know, but maybe that might work. Because they think they're fooling people because they got one hand on the wheel and then they got that other hand on the seat where you really can't see them, but you know for sure what they're doing. They're using the electric device or, you know, they're using their technology. Both hands on the wheel, less accidents. And the other third thing I want to mention is if Matt, when you do your next article, maybe put something in the article about this. The people that clean the toilets on the subways for the MTA have more of a pension than a person who drove a taxi, not for 20 years like the MTA guys work and get a pension, for maybe 40 years, and they should have a medallion or a black car or a radio. They should have something that's worth something, and maybe the TLC or the city can work together where they would not, they can't guarantee, nobody can guarantee anything, but they need to make some common sense laws and rules that would give a person a little security for their retirement because they work so hard, and the medallion industry helps keep the city. All the money that the medallions were sold, they keep police officers on the street, they keep schools, they keep the roads. They do so much for the city of New York because they sold medallions that were worth something.
Bert,
you know, and make comments on that. Thank you so much, David and Matt.
You bring up a great point. You know, Dave, by the way, thanks really, for calling in.
We really need to elaborate more upon some of the stuff that was in that article because no one's talking about it, and it's hard to get a response out of the government about these things. We're looking to hold... My university is going to be holding a forum, and we'd love for you to come and speak, Taxi Dave, on June 30th. Hopefully we can work out the date, make sure you're available. It's going to be at New York Institute of Technology.
You're going to have to change it. There's a great Grateful Dead concert going on that week. I'm sorry.
Is there really? All right, well, let's get our schedules together. But we're going to hold an event for everybody to hear from the experts, whether they be lenders like Melrose, brokers and people.
I'm honored that you asked me, and I'll try to participate, absolutely.
Fantastic.
Commissioner, I just want you to know we got an email. To Matt, you're the best commissioner we ever had. Signed, Abe, a retired cabbie. There you go.
Hey, David, I think I want to call in every week because this is really good for my ego.
Yeah, Matthew, you have a lot of friends that are calling in.
I'm very humbled by it. In my mind, I never consider myself one of the best transportation minds, but I'll take all these compliments and I'll feel good about myself. And
weren't you the longest-standing commissioner?
Touche.
Weren't you the longest-standing commissioner?
Yes, I'm still standing now, too. It was a total of almost 9 years, and A lot of people forget that I was general counsel and special counsel for years before then. So I was 14 years working at the TLC, a total of almost 20 for the city, you know, because I continued to be a civil service commissioner after that. And I'm finally out teaching, practicing law, and helping with the battle against rogue TNCs and, you know, this craziness around the world. And it couldn't have been at a better time that I left, because if, I don't know, if I wasn't there, we'd probably be a little worse off, because there are very few regulators that are able to speak their mind these days. I'm able to say what everybody else is thinking because I don't have a job to lose. And I've had regulators and commissioners have been fired for saying that we should have fair regulations. I've had people who've been muzzled, like my friend, the Los Angeles regulator. He's not allowed to talk to the press or anybody. I mean, some of the things that have happened are obscene and a disruption of democracy, in my view. And I'm very, very, I'm very saddened about the state of affairs and how things have progressed in the U.S. and the legislatures around the country. I'm disappointed in the media for being so biased against the industry and the regulators for years until now.
Absolutely, the
media. It's very sad. It's very sad, and I'm hoping that things will turn around and the truth will come out. And I'm confident that it will. Not just the courts, but some of the things about the background checks are starting to resonate with people. Unfortunately, Dave and Frank, people have been hurt, and more people will be hurt before it's all over. And that's really the sad part of all of this. We've learned deregulation never worked in the history of the world, and it never will work in this industry.
Let's take one more call before we go to break. Frank, you're next on the Taxi Dave Show.
Hi, Dave. Frank here. I parked at 76th in Columbus. In the bike lane between 76, 75th to go into Chase Bank. I get out of my car, and I've got New York in my blood. I'm here all my life. A filthy basket. Okay, I see garbage on the street. I bend down to pick up garbage on the street. I start walking to the garbage can, and what whizzes by me but a 70-pound electric bike at 30 miles an hour. And I take a look at that guy over my shoulder, and if I could have jumped on his back and thought I'd hit him in the head, I might have done so. I mean, it was crazy what happened there, and he could have killed me. And here I am just trying to be a civil servant, good Samaritan, pick up some garbage, put it in the basket where it belongs, and this guy could have really whacked me really hard and ended my hopeful, joyful retirement someday.
Well, I hope you learned the lesson.
Well, Dave, one other thing is very important, is defensive driving. We get into this environment of fear, drivers are going to get involved in problem situations. We need to be defensive-minded, meaning we avoid problems. That's how I've avoided accidents for 43 years. You think about avoiding it. You don't think about being involved in it.
What did you think about Matt Dawes when he was the chairman of the TLC?
I think he's a white-collar executive, and he had some perspective on the industry, and I think he just needed to be brought more down to earth on issues. I think it might have helped him get a more perspective on what's happening in the streets and the goings-on here. Okay?
You're a politician.
Finally, we got some honest reporting on that one.
You're out of Matthew. You ran out of brothers to call.
Thanks for
let me tell you something.
The Taxi Dave Show. I appreciate it,
Dave. You know, Dave, I have to say the best place to go is the airport. As you know, I've been there with you in my tenure, and I would find out in literally 15 minutes of just hanging out at the taxi hold what the hell's going on. And
that's
what's on the drivers' minds. And, you know, I commend you for having the show and for giving a platform for all of them to talk about what's going on, because that's what we really need, people on the street listening. And I tried to do that as best as I could when I was there. And, of course, we always need to do more of that.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on the Taxi Dave Show and spending so much time. I can't believe how much time you spent. Time flies when you're having fun, huh, Commissioner?
Anytime.
Ladies and gentlemen, Matthew Dawes, the former commissioner of the Taxi and Limousine Commission, and probably the most experienced transportation person on New York City in the world. Thanks again for coming on the show.
Thank you, Dave.
When we come back, we're going to have some fun. We'll tell you about some stuff going on next weekend, which is Memorial Day weekend. If we can, we'll squeeze in a couple of calls. I'm Taxi Dave. This is the Taxi Dave Radio Show. We're brought to you by Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. Stay tuned for more of our show. Bye-bye.
Seriously, why would you get a mortgage from a bank? Smart New Yorkers know that a credit union mortgage is better. We're Melrose Credit Union, and we want you to compare our mortgage to a bank mortgage. It's a financial eye-opener banks do not want you to see. Join Melrose Credit Union today. Find out why a credit union mortgage is better. Melrose Credit Union. You can get there from here. Deposit accounts federally insured to at least $250,000 by the NCUA. Affirmative Action Employer, Equal Housing Lender.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
She bought the money, ran on down the beauty shop, you know, and she humped it hard, you know, she began to stop and said, come get my baby, down around the block.
Taxi Dave Show is back. Sunday night, the place to be. I'm Taxi Dave. We're here with Frank Venezia. It was nice of Chairman, former Chairman Matthew Doss to join us. Couple of things. Transportation reporter for the Daily News, Pete Donahue. He's moving on to the TWU Local 100. So he's going from the Daily News to the Union. Councilman James Vaca from the Bronx, who's been on the show a number of times, is in favor of the Move New York plan. That's the plan to put tolls on all the bridges. He wants more transportation out in his boroughs. Mayor Bill de Blasio originally put in his budget $500 million for the MTA over the next 5 years, but MTA President Thomas Pendergrast asked for $2.5 billion. So the updated version is New York City's giving $657 million instead of $2.5 billion. And Mayor de Blasio said, I did not get a thank you note. Okay. Next weekend is Memorial Day weekend. There's some things to do if you're in the city and want to stay in the city. There is the Washington Square Outdoor Art Exhibit. And with us now on the Taxi Dave Show is Mike Hirsch, who has some interesting hobbies, and he's a sculptor. Welcome to the Taxi Dave Show, Mike.
Thank you.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about the Washington Square Outdoor Art Exhibit and how long it's been going on?
Well, it's next weekend for the next 3 days, and then the following weekend for 2 days. It's been going on for 80-something years, started during the Depression, and, of course, it was much larger at that time. It grew to, at one time, to probably around 2,000 exhibitors. But, of course, now it's down much lower, and one of the biggest reasons is that there's...
So how many people are participating? How many artists and sculptors?
Usually around 130 to 150.
So what can I buy down there if I'm around Washington Square Park next weekend or the weekend after?
Okay, well, you have fine art, you have
come on, Mike. Let us know.
I'm sorry. I'm not used to this. You have fine arts, you have watercolors, you have sculptures in metal and in stone and wood, and you have a lot of crafts.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for your service. I understand you're a Korean War veteran.
Yes, sir.
And what I find interesting is I don't find too many blacksmiths that I run into in New York City. Are you a blacksmith?
Well, no.
Well, there goes that one.
No. Hold it. By trade, I'm an electrical contractor. I had a master's license of 50 years. Blacksmith came up when I started to do sculpture, stone sculptures, and I read the book, The Agony Ecstasy, and I was going to be a purist. So I was going to make the chisels and the rest of the tools needed for it. So that's where blacksmithing came in.
So if somebody wants to buy artwork, fine arts, watercolors, sculptures, where exactly would they go?
Well, it's on University Place. From the park all the way up to 13th Street, on both sides of the street.
Oh, on University. Very good.
Mm-hmm. It's a great bunch of people out there. I mean, they're Some of them are amateurs. A lot of them, most of them are professionals who do it full time, go to shows.
It's always a great way to spend the day in New York City, I'll tell you that. My parents used to take me down to Washington Square Park during the art show. Back then, it was mostly paintings.
Yeah, well, it's about, you name it, it's down there.
Mike Hirsch, I want to thank you for coming on the Taxi Dave Show and telling everybody about a great weekend, Memorial Day weekend, and the following weekend on University Place and Washington Square Park, the Washington Square Outdoor Art Exhibit. If you're in Manhattan, check it out, folks, and say hi to Mike Hirsch.
Yeah, I'll be there waiting.
All right, thanks again.
Be well.
Bye. Okay, let's take, do we still have Charbel on the line?
She's still. Good evening.
Good evening.
How you doing?
Welcome to the Taxi Dave Show.
Thank you. I did like the conversation between you and Mr. Doss. I think he did fantastic job when he was Taxi and Limousine, when he was commissioner. And Bloomberg brought his friends to create Uber and Lyft. I mean, Bloomberg, he did bring...
Okay, so what can I do for you, Charbel?
Okay, one more thing. I'm complaining about Taxi and Limousine Commission. They keep issuing more permits for liveries every single day. And then they are creating a lot of traffic. Department of Transportation, they are not helping the traffic. And guess we are hurting on the streets because we are sitting in the traffic and the MTA buses, too.
You know, it's interesting. We're going to have Scott Stringer on the show in a couple of weeks. You know, his survey I announced last week, express buses are up to 28 minutes late, so much for express buses. But the MTA needs more money for more trains and buses. I don't quite get it, and I really don't understand it. But
well, he's up to traffic.
Yeah, he's up to traffic. That's exactly right. How do you ease up the traffic? What's your idea? Give me 30 seconds.
Well, you got to take away the bike lane. You got to take away the through street. You got to remove the left turn and right turns on the green arrow in the city. You know, you put those arrows by Major Boulevard for people making left turn on Major Boulevard or going into a huge mall. You don't need it in the city. You don't need it in the city. You need to ease up the traffic and don't play with the traffic lights on a daily basis. Okay. When you open the traffic light, traffic flows. I'm not a traffic engineer, but I do know a lot more than most people.
You know, it's funny. I remember in the 1970s, you can go from the north tip of Manhattan by Bakersfield, the Broadway Bridge, on Broadway, all the way down to the South Ferry if you drove 23 miles an hour. I did it with my friends. You know, now you can't go five blocks without running into a red light on Broadway. It's amazing. So much for traffic flow. Anyway, thanks for listening to the Taxi Dave Show. Next week, if you don't want to stay in the city, up in Monroe, New York, there's going to be a circus called the Zerbini Family Circus, actually. And it's at a pretty unique location. And with us now is Melody from the Zerbini Family Circus. Welcome to the Taxi Dave Show.
Hi, I'm happy to be here.
Thank you. So the circus is being held at Museum Village. That's about an hour from New York City, correct?
That's correct. We're going to be at the Museum Village in Monroe, New York.
And tell us a little bit about your circus. Why should people go?
Well, the Zerbini Family Circus is a 250-year-old circus that originated in Paris, France, and then we worked our way to the United States. It's the oldest form of wholesome family entertainment. There's something for everybody, whether you're one or 101. It's a good time to have for the entire family.
Okay, great. And I know sometimes if you go down to, the other circuses with the big names, you can pay as much as $150 for a ticket. And, you know, what's the most expensive ticket, the best seat in the house for a Zerbini Family Circus at Museum Village Memorial Day weekend?
Well, tickets for adults are $15, and it's general admission. So best the seats are first come, first serve. Children's tickets are from 3 to 12 years old. They're $12, and 3 and under, they're free. So it's about the same price as going to a movie. So you get to see a live show.
Hey, folks, It's worth it. It's worth paying the toll back, and it's worth the gasoline. You're an hour away, and how can you beat those prices? Even with all that in lunch, it's less than one ticket at Madison Square Garden.
That's right. I mean, it's a small show. It's a family-owned and operated, so you're going to see our family is going to be entertaining your family. A lot of fun for all the kids, and the adults will have fun, too.
You know, and while you're there, if you want to eat lunch, you should go into Washingtonville and check out Betty's Inn. It's a little family diner, and it's a nice old house, and it's better food than any diner you've ever been in, believe me. Maybe we'll get the owner in. Okay, is there anything else, Melody, that you'd like to tell our listeners about your circus?
Well, we just want to let them know that it's sponsored by the Museum Village, so profits from the circus will go to the museum, you know, to help with upkeep and all that. And we just want to tell folks, you know, to come on in. It's a live show, 90 minutes long. You'll have a great time. You can go on a camel ride, a pony ride, watch incredible death-defying feats on trapeze. We have acrobats, aerialists, jugglers, performing pups, ponies, horses, and camels. Lots of fun, 90 minutes for the whole family.
Thank you so much, Melody. This is the Taxi Dave Show. Frank, thanks for being on. All our guests, all our listeners, all our callers. It's Memorial Day weekend next week, and we will be on live. I am Taxi Dave, and you are not Taxi Dave. We'll see you next week. I got to go now. Hey, taxi, take me to the circus.
This has been a podcast from WOR.